We're going to talk about what it means to be with Jesus in baptism for those who couldn't hear. And I want you to know, baptism isn't magic. It's not a way to manipulate God. It's not for good reasons or bad reasons. It has to be joined to faith. It's absurd to think any other way. Faith, and what I mean by faith, is not just like believing good things or having a good attitude. Faith is the belief that Jesus Christ came, sent from the Father, lived the life you could not live, died the death that you deserved, and rose so that you could have life. Jesus is everything. Jesus is everything. Baptism that is never joined to faith is not baptism. It's a contradiction. But on the other hand, baptism is not an expression of our faith either. It's a visible expression of God's promise. It's an expression of God's faithfulness. It's the word of God to us. When we baptize, God gets to be the hero of the story, plain and simple. Okay? God is the hero. So baptism makes visible and tangible God's promise that all who come to Jesus will never be cast out. That's what baptism is. Now let's hear from the Word of God what Paul has to say about baptism. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. I'm going to read through verse 11. Hear the word of the Lord. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has any dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, it is an amazing thing to join with your people, to join in baptism. Your word says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Lord Jesus, this text, it said that you died once for all. It all just centers on you. It all centers on you. Lord, open our eyes and our ears to your word this morning. Help us to remember our baptism in all the ways that your word tells us to, in all the ways that would empower us to do your will, in all the ways that would put out of our way all the obstacles that the enemy puts in front of us, all the ways that our lives, our past keep barking at us as though we still were under its dominion. God, I pray for everyone here. If they don't know you, open their eyes today. If they do know you, let their hearts rest in you as we talk about this word. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul, you know, in the first verse, he says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? He's throwing out a question. It's talking about what he was just talking about in chapter 5. Basically, what is, if God is so gracious and his grace is shown through human, because like in overcoming human sin, should we just continue to sin so that God's grace can be shown more and more and more? Paul says, absolutely, positively not. In fact, this is the strongest negation you could probably have in Greek. By no means. Paul says, how can we who died to sin still live in it? Paul basically tells us, remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. Baptism is the gospel spoken to you. There is a theologian and a pastor, his name is Peter Lighthart, and I'm sure he's not the only one who's ever said this, but this is where I heard it. He says, he says the Bible was written for you, absolutely, but the Bible wasn't written to you. It was written to other people. Baptism is the gospel to you. It's the gospel with your name on it. Baptism is a gift in so many ways. And we talked about those. It purifies, refreshes, strengthens. It gives life. Jesus Christ is living water. But Paul talks about a very peculiar gift that baptism gives us, if you were paying attention. What we find in baptism is the gift of death. Now that's going to sound weird. I hope it sounds weird because it should. Verse 2, Paul says, we who have died to sin, how can we still live in sin? Sin reigns through death. It plays on all our fears, all our rebellion, all our selfishness, all our twisted and corrupt identities, all our self-reclamation projects, those ways that we're trying to make ourselves right and justify ourselves in this world. Sin twists that, and it always ends in the same way for everyone. It ends in death. What Jesus offers us in baptism turns sin's greatest weapon against it. Sin can only reign until death comes. Its whole purpose is to kill, but once death comes, its dominion is over. It's over. Now, it's not that a Christian can't sin. Amen? Amen. But Paul's point is that grace overwhelms and overcomes sin. Grace overthrows sin. Grace does not allow sin to keep going. That's because grace, and when I say grace, I don't just mean a good, I don't mean like a pile of something that God gives a little bit more here and a little less here, depending on where you are, how good you are, or whatever. Grace is a gift. It has nothing to do with what you've done. Actually, it does. It's given because you have done a whole lot of things in rebellion against God. Grace is God's disposition towards you. Grace is God's unmerited favor upon sinners. That's what grace is. Grace works through the gift of death. Baptism points to that gift. Verse 3, Paul says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Not just death, but Christ's death. How can death be a gift? Look real quickly at verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. In baptism, our old selves, what Paul calls the body of sin, where sin reigns and it enslaves us, where it holds sway, where you get these voices like, yeah, everybody might think you're great, but you see you. You know it's not true. All those things, those ways that sin twists us and gets us to keep serving and keep going back and back and back to the same thing. All the ways that it enslaves us, they're crucified with Jesus. That means that all of our identities that we constructed to justify ourselves in this world are nailed to the cross. Everything that I've added to the sin of Adam is drowned and washed away in the flood of baptism. Baptism tells us the truth. Identity can only be given. It can't be taken. It can't be constructed. As much as we try to do that, and we are obsessed with that in this day. Baptism tells us that we bear the name of God. When God created the heavens and the earth, he spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light. He brings things to exist by his very word. In baptism, God says to all who come to Jesus, "You are mine. You are my child. Mine. Mine." Whatever your life to this point, whatever you've done, whatever's been done to you, no matter what you've tried to be in this world by carving out a name and identity for yourself, you are who God says you are. Plain and simple. And if we are baptized into Christ's death, we said the Apostles' Creed at the beginning for a reason. Because it's all about what Jesus has done. If we're baptized into his death, then we know what comes next. Baptism buries us with Jesus for the express purpose that we would walk in newness of life in the same way Jesus walked out of that tomb, was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. This is a gift. Death, the death that the gospel offers us is a gift, because Jesus isn't in the grave. He is alive. Amen? Our entire faith hangs on this one thing. He is alive. He is alive. He is alive. And verse 8, if you look at it, Paul says, "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him." If the body of sin has been put to death with Jesus, then only one thing could follow, because we're with him. Paul says that baptism points us forward in faith to the fact that we will live. Some days, we can barely grasp that. Some days, the darkness of depression or loneliness or our own depravity, our feelings of defilement, our shame, all these things, they keep us from even being able to grasp hold of that hope, but still it remains, because it's not based on you, it's based on Jesus. Baptism brings us into Christ's body visibly and tangibly, and we are given a new name. Baptism disabuses us of thinking that we can live a double life. We can't. And it disabuses us of the delusion that we can find life, righteousness, purity, acceptance, that we can find a new name in anywhere and anything except for Jesus Christ and him alone. Jesus, the Bible, as the Bible presents him, as you read through the Bible, Jesus is presented as a new Adam. Actually, Paul just talks about that one chapter earlier in chapter 5. He is the true, he's what it means to truly be human. He has come to us, and as he came to us as what the Bible calls a prophet, a priest, and a king. Baptism makes what's true of Jesus true of us. Let me say that again. Baptism makes what's true of Jesus true of us. That'll be up here on the screen in case you didn't get that. Baptism is God's promise made visible. A new name. A new name, not just outwardly, but inwardly. Bringing a new life. This comes up in the letter in Peter's first letter. Baptism leaves the army of Satan drowned in the cleansing flood of Jesus as you dwell safely in the ark. That's why Noah comes up when we talk about baptism. Baptism is your entry point into the visible church, the people of God, the bride of Christ. So remember your baptism. Christian, remember your baptism. Now look, I don't have a conscious memory of my baptism. I was baptized as an infant. It's not my experience of baptism that we're talking about when we say remember. That water, long after I dried out, that water remains. That purity, that purifying water of Jesus Christ remains in it, and God brought me from death to life. God brought me from unbelief to belief. God brought me from sick to well. He did this over my lifetime. And I stand before you washed. Washed. An ample washing, actually. So remember your baptism. Paul says in verse 12, we didn't read this before, it'll be up here on the screen. Let not sin, therefore, remain or reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And your members to God as instruments for righteousness, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Remember your baptism. Remember that you are a child of the great King. Remember that as his child, as what baptism tells you, that what is true of Jesus is true of you, so you can fight every injustice you see. You can feed the poor. You can heal the sick, just as Jesus does. Remember your baptism. Remember the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of prophecy, has been poured out upon you, church. Bind up the brokenhearted. Proclaim the good news. Welcome sinners in Christ's name. Remember your baptism and remember that you have a great high priest who has entered the Holy of Holies. That your life is hidden there with him so you can intercede now for the lost, the broken. Take up the cause of those who are running around like orphans, waiting for you. You ever run across somebody like this? They'll tell you something about themselves, and they're waiting to see if you will shrink back. They're waiting to see if you can take it, if you're going to flinch. You have a high priest in heaven, so you don't have to flinch. Remember your baptism. Keep putting their hand firmly in Jesus' hand. Remember your baptism when your past comes knocking on the door. Remember your baptism and say and tell those demons, tell them the truth that Jesus has drowned them out. They have no power here. Remember your baptism when you feel like hiding or running. Remember your baptism when you see that God is doing something new in your life and you want to display it for all to see and you want to express a new experience. Remember that Jesus washed you and you had no idea the thing he was doing. Remember your baptism when you're battling addiction and you can't seem to break out. Remember how the gospel was declared over you with your name on it. Actually, let's be clear. It's with God's name on you. Jesus died and can no longer be touched by sin and death. Baptism tells you what's true of Jesus is true of you. As you do that, I want you to remember, church, how gentle he is. I want you to remember how he said and promised that he will never cast you out. I want you to remember how he not only doesn't shrink back, he leans in. The greater the defiled sinner that comes to him, the more Jesus seems to lean in. Remember that. Remember what baptism has done for you, the death that it's given you so that you could be free, so that you could really live. If you don't know Jesus, God says, and Jesus says, all who come to me, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and all who come to me I will never cast out. Never. All you need to do is come. Come with open arms. Come with open hands. You didn't make yourself right. Your life probably looks pretty messy. Mine does. Jesus promises he'll never cast you out. You don't have to guess. And if that's where you are right now, what's going on here, and you don't really get who this Jesus is yet, just invite you just to kind of sit in this moment and pray. Even if you can't grasp God right now, God can grasp you. And for those of you who stand in Christ today, remember everything that he's done. Remember what this washing of water does. It does a lot, doesn't it? You can go forth with confidence. Confidence, joy, and hope. God, we can't do those things without you, though. We can't do these things without you. Lord, if there is anyone here that hears your call and doesn't yet know how it is that they'll be received. They've been told over and over and over again that they're not good enough, that they're too sick, they're too defiled, they're too everything else. Their life doesn't look right. Jesus, you just say, come. Come, I'm the one who's going to make you clean. I'm the one who's going to make things right. I'm the one who's going to do this work in you. Just come. Lord God, I ask that if there is anyone here, as you are calling their name, that they would just cry out to you, God, come find me. God, come find me. God, come find me. And Lord God, we, as we talk about being with Jesus, as we who know your name, who depend on your name and your word, Lord God, help us to remember the promise. Help us to remember the washing that you have given us in Jesus. The visible water that stays with us, that has washed us clean. Jesus Christ, you are living water. We depend on you. I am more desperate for you than I have ever been, and I pray that over everyone here who follows you. Lord, make them desperate for you, hungering and thirsting for you, leaving behind sin, taking on life. God, make that true of us. In Jesus' name, amen. We have an opportunity now to share in a meal. Now, this meal is a feast, and I'm going to explain it in just a minute. But if you're not a Christian, and what I mean is if you don't believe that Jesus lived the life that you couldn't live, died the death that you deserved, and was raised to life, if you don't believe that Jesus is alive today, then you're not a Christian. And this table isn't for you yet. That's not because we want to exclude you. That's because Jesus, the living Jesus, invites us to this table and no one else. So it would just be a ritual. And we're not about doing bare rituals here. We wouldn't have you lie any more than we would want to lie to you. But for any who have come to Jesus, all who have cast aside their sin and run to Christ today, this meal is for you. This table is for you. This is a feast of remembrance, communion, and hope. And we come remembering that Jesus Christ fully paid for our sin, even to death on a cross. And because he did, because of God's eternal covenant of grace, we are forgiven and we can never be forsaken, ever, never cast out. That's what Jesus has done in the past. But it also speaks to the present. It speaks to communion with Jesus because Jesus is the bread that nourishes us. He is the bread. He is the cup in whom we must abide if we're going to bear any fruit. Jesus, the living Jesus, is the one who does this. This meal doesn't just remind us of it. He invites us to come and feast on him. And as we do, just as we talked about in baptism, we come as one, one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so as we come in Christ's love and in affection for one another, because this is a meal that we share. And this meal also tells a story about the future, hope. Because as surely as you eat the bread and you drink the cup, our Lord is going to come. He's going to raise us up. We will be like he is, seeing him face to face. Prayer will be turned to praise. Faith turned to sight. And we will reign with him forever. This is the Lord's table. The way we do this is if you are a Christian and we invite you to come to the table. You just go through the middle and around the sides. The elders will serve you at the sides. They'll drop the bread into your hands. Just cup your hands. They'll put a cup on the table for you to take. Please take that back to your seat, and we'll take this meal together. Receive this meal together. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And on the same night, he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for many. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." People of God, it is Christ himself that invites you to this table. If you're going to come on it for any other reason, stop it. This is the Lord's table. People of God, come when you're ready.